ask Hazel if she'll bring us a Bible reading.
On the Road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As I was thinking about tonight, I thought we would already have heard quite a bit about the events of the week, which included Easter, the Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and then which John Hancock spoke about last Sunday, and then Chris spoke about this morning about the crucifixion and resurrection. And so I thought that to begin with, I looked at the reading that Hazel read for us and started off from there, and then this afternoon I turned it all around. So I thought we often, or we, at this time of year, we think about Easter and we think about Good Friday and Jesus' suffering and his death. And we also, as we're going to remember tonight, we think about the Last Supper, when Jesus brought bread with his disciples for the last time, and the bread and wine, he instituted what we call the communion. Some churches call it the breaking of bread. And so I thought that we could, to begin with, just look at Jesus' suffering, because we talk about these things, but do we really stop and think about what Jesus suffered for us? Do we really think about it and believe it? Chris commented this morning that some people don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And some people, I've heard, some people have said to me, you can't prove that Jesus even existed. But I think what Chris said this morning, there's less evidence for him not to have existed. There's much more evidence that he did, apart from the experience that we have when we know him. So we'll just look at a few of the things that happened to Jesus at the end of that week, ending up with his crucifixion. And he was arrested in the garden. He was bound by the people who came for him. No, before that, let's just think about the Last Supper. Jesus talked a lot to his disciples, but before the early part of that time, Jesus did something which you wouldn't have expected him to do. You wouldn't have expected the Son of God, God himself really, to wash his followers' feet. And what struck me more than anything just this week, as I was reading some of the accounts, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him to the religious leaders, and because they couldn't arrest him during the day because they were afraid of what the people would do, because the people followed him. And so Judas betrayed him, but Jesus still washed Judas's feet like he did the rest of the of his followers, the rest of the apostles. And he showed us how to be humble. If Jesus, the King of Glory, our Saviour, washed Judas's feet, who was going to betray him, what does that say to us? That we should be humble, and as Jesus said, wash one another's feet. Not necessarily washing people's feet. That was something that was specifically done in that time for a reason. But we need to care about one another, help one another, and forgive one another, as Jesus did. But then we find that after he'd broken bread with them, and the wine that he went out. And Judas and the mob came and arrested him. And he was taken to the high priest and questioned by the high priest. And then he was spit on by the people there. And he was beaten with their fists. And then, after that, he was taken to Pilate. And Pilate questioned him. And then he had him, as time went on that day, that evening, that morning it would be when he was at Pilate, he was flogged. Pilate had him flogged. And then he was released to the soldiers who plotted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they mocked him and they spit on him and they struck him on the head again and again with a staff. And then they took him out to go to Golgotha, where they would crucify him. And it was interesting there that they made Simon of Cyrene carry the cross. It would seem that the other two carried their own crosses, the other two that were crucified. But if we really think about it, the burden that Jesus had wasn't the cross, it was our sin that he carried. Was Jesus' burden. And the biggest sin that we can really commit is to reject Jesus. And then they nailed him to the cross and mocked him again. And he spent 6 hours hanging on that cross before he died. And the soldier went to see if he was dead and stuck a spear in him to make sure. So that, as Chris said again this morning, does away with the idea that he was only fainted and wasn't dead at all. And so these are the things that have happened while these disciples, these two people who were with, we find on the Emmaus Road, that were talking about as they walked back to Emmaus from Jerusalem, which I understand is about 7 miles. And so we come to our Bible reading, and we find them, these two people, walking along the road. And Jesus comes to them, walking along the road with them. They didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't realize it was Jesus. And so, he said, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And if you read in the New King James, and I think the Old King James as well, he says, "And they are sad." And it tells us that they stop. Their faces cast down. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" What things, Jesus asked. And so he goes on to tell him of the things that have happened that we've just talked about. And Jesus About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. So let's just look at the... He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And if we look in Luke chapter 9 and verse 21, it tells us, and I find it, Jesus strictly warned them. Oh, this was when Peter said he was who he was. Peter answered the Christ. Then it says, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Three times it's recorded that Jesus told them that he was going to be, what was going to happen. We'll just look at another one, which is in Luke again, and chapter 18 and verses 31 to 33. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. And we've just said about all the things that they did to Jesus, and he's telling them there beforehand what's going to happen. And so we can see that Jesus was a prophet. He also told them about other things that were going to happen. And if we look in, if we look at Luke 21 and verse 5, some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And we know that that happened in AD 70. I think that's right. Chris will confirm, or somebody else will. A lot of people here that's better read than I am and understand the history of things, but that happened by the Romans. And so we've got plenty of evidence that he was a prophet. And they went on to say, he was mighty indeed. And we see all the miracles recorded in Scripture. I just quickly looked through and I counted up more than 30 that are recorded in the New Testament of miracles that Jesus did. I'm sure there was more. And in word, which we've got all his teaching written there, what he taught people, how to live and the way that they should live, and behave and to trust in God and to honour God. And then they crucified him, he says. But we were hoping he would redeem Israel. And they were thinking, like the rest of Israel, because they had the prophecy in the Old Testament that God would send someone to free them from the power of the Romans, and they were expecting that. And these people were disappointed as well, because he hadn't done what they hoped he would. And so he goes on to explain to them about these things that were prophesied and should have happened. And so they go along the way, and they come to Emmaus, and they invite him in. He wants to carry on, but they persuade him to stay with them, because it's getting on toward evening. And so they went in, and they obviously sat down to have a meal, and Jesus took the bread and broke the bread, and he gave thanks for the bread and broke the bread, and so at that, and gave it to them. And as he's giving it to them, they realize that it's Jesus. This, what they'd been told by the women before they'd set off from Jerusalem, was true. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Jesus was alive, and he disappeared from their sight. And you know, Jesus was all sorts of ideas about Jesus after he's risen and what, but he wasn't a spirit as we think of, because he took the bread and he broke the bread. He was a physical person, and yet he also disappeared. And we see later on him coming into a room where the doors are locked. And so they realized, and they were so convinced about this, that they immediately set off back to walk the 7 miles back to Jerusalem to tell the others that Jesus was alive. And when they got back there, they were telling the others, said, yeah, we've seen Jesus, some of us have seen Jesus, Simon's seen Jesus. And so they went on to tell of their experience. And we know that Jesus appeared to them and to lots of people over a period of time before he went back to heaven. They were certain that Jesus was alive. Are we certain that Jesus is alive today and our Saviour? Do we know the living Jesus, or do we just know the history that is written in the Bible and in other places? You know, I read a while ago some church history, and it said in there that the secular historian Josephus, it records his work, what he had written. He lived at the time of Jesus when all these things were happening, but he wasn't a follower of Jesus. And he, according to that, his writings say that Jesus rose from the dead. It doesn't say that they said Jesus rose from the dead. He said that Jesus rose, and he wasn't a follower of Jesus. So there's plenty of evidence for what we believe. If we believe in Jesus, and it's important, without Jesus' resurrection, we're all wasting our time, because Christianity is a waste of time without Jesus' resurrection.
Amen.